This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, 7:36 in the morning. I've got Joe Quinlan on the line with me. He's the chief market strategist of the US Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management in New York City. Joe, welcome to the show. Can I get your views, if possible, on Barclays research pointing out that large US banks are poised to return more capital, about $170 billion, more capital than generated profits via dividend and stock buybacks in the coming year? Why in heaven's name are banks doing this in terms of their capital management plans?
Well, if they do it, the banks aren't alone. A lot of companies are giving back some of their capital related to strong earnings, good demand, and, of course, corporate tax reform. So, banks are they're giving money back, but they're also investing in technology. They're hiring. They're looking. I think you're going to see more M&A activity as well. So it's, I think it's just in line with other industries and other sectors that are cash rich right now and giving it some back to investors.
Do you think this exposes them to any future shocks to their systems in any way, shape, or form, given the fact that we're in the 10th anniversary of the global financial crisis?
Well, you never say never, but speaking for U.S. banks, they're very well capitalized, good leverage ratios, strong earnings. The risk management controls are probably the best we've seen in decades. But everything's cyclical, as you know. We've got a good economy. The consumer's in good shape. So I think the banks are in pretty good shape here in the United States. I think there's problems in the emerging markets, perhaps. They'll come out later. The Spanish banks, Italian banks, there's always issues that have to be worked out there. But structurally speaking, U.S. banks have never been stronger.
Hey, Joe. Analysts are suggesting that U.S. earnings in first quarter represented the peak in earnings growth. So do you share this view vis-a-vis U.S. growth signals?
It could be. I mean, we had 25% year-over-year in that range for our earnings in Q1. But we're still looking at double-digit growth in Q2. Maybe flatlining closer to, like, say, 8% in the second half of this year. So, we may have seen peak earnings, but earnings in general still remains very robust here in the next couple of quarters. Good demand, good growth, cost cutting, margin expansion for most sectors. Not all. It all depends. But we may have reached the peak in earnings, but we still have a very solid, robust earnings outlook in front of us.
I find it quite interesting, Joe, that you call 8% earnings growth flatlining, but maybe relative to U.S. earnings growth historically in the last few months. But what is this going to do for the ongoing market rally, Joe, when I see the year-to-date gains for both the NASDAQ and for the Dow Jones? They're pretty impressive.
They are impressive given the volatility and how we dropped dramatically after January 20th because of a lot of the policy backdrop. I think we grind higher. I don't know if we're going to tack on another 5% on the S&P for giving us double-digit gains again in 2018. But I think the gains we've secured can, with the volatility aside, I think we could tack on another 3-4% gains total return over the next second half of this year. So, no one's looking for a recession. There's copious amounts of liquidity. We talked about the share buybacks, the dividends. Everything's in place to keep the rally moving higher. Modestly, whether it's at 5-8% over the second half of this year, nothing like we saw last year where all in was over 20%.
Joe, what's your view on the short to medium term demands for the dollar, and how should investors position their portfolios to handle repercussions of to EM currencies, emerging markets currencies?
Yeah, well, first of all, the dollar is strengthening because the United States has pulled ahead in terms of growth of Europe and also Japan and many emerging markets, whether it's Brazil, Turkey, Argentina, of course. The outliers might be some Southeast Asian countries like Malaysia and China and India, of course. But the United States has clearly shown that its economy is busted above that 3% growth rate. Unemployment's down, consumption's up, capital expenditures, you name it. So I think the dollar kind of continues to gain strength here, not overly crazy gains that hurts the earnings. But there's a global preference for dollars. There's no doubt about it, whether it's treasuries, corporate bonds, equities across the board. Emerging markets, given the fact that the Fed is going to continue to raise rates at least twice more this year, more outflows than inflows. When the outflows head out of the emerging markets, they typically go into dollar-denominated assets. And now with some problems in Europe along the periphery, as usual, Spain, Italy, and on down the line, there's questions about Germany, Merkel's government holding together. I expect further dollar strength here in the near term.
Yeah, Joe, you mentioned Malaysia, India, of course. We are staying pat on rates. But, you know, the divergence is not just us. It's the rest of the developed world. The Bank of England, the European Central Bank, even the Bank of Japan, aren't they staying pat or still on the loosening curve? Now, how are investors handling this whole policy divergence between what you guys in the Fed, you guys in America are doing and the large other central banks in the other parts of the world?
Well, I think if you're a foreign investor outside of the United States, you want some, hedge your currency risk vis-a-vis the dollar, but then also have dollar-denominated assets, because I do think whether it's the credit cycle, the higher-yielding assets are going to be in the United States, better robust growth, stronger growth, consumption, investment, share buybacks, the action's in the United States, and I think you have to hedge. As a foreign investor against that and or own a lot of U.S. denominator assets. So I see if I'm a foreign investor, I want to own, some sectors, technology, REITs, consumer staples, discretionary financials. I want to own U.S. companies, U.S. sectors, U.S. assets.
Joe, turning to the ongoing U.S.-China trade tensions, what do you think are the implications to global markets from that?
Right now, I almost think the investors are too complacent about what can go wrong or how, things that start small become big later on. So, clearly the United States went down this path last week. China responded in kind. If we just keep going tit for tat, at some point it does have significant impact for the economy, for the global trading system, for everyone, whether it's FX, equities, bonds. So, I'm hoping that, we've got some time here between now and July 6th to kind of reconcile some of these issues. Both parties can claim victory or, back off and be good about themselves. So I'm becoming increasingly concerned that investors are just seeing through this too quickly and we power ahead. That's not necessarily guaranteed or anything that we can bank on.
All right, Joe, thanks so much for your time. That was Joe Quinlan, the Chief Market Strategist for the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management out of New York City. Now, Joe, it's interesting comments that that Joe made in terms of the ongoing America-China trade relations. Obviously Donald Trump is hurling tariffs onto Chinese produce and Chinese producers and government there. Hurling back, we're going to be talking about those issues, actually, in terms of Malaysia's trade and bilateral business between our two countries in a few minutes. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.